Her name is known from her cylinder seal, which is used to authorize receipts of oil and grain. And this minor piece of evidence informs us that, first of all, the palace officials and staff could stay despite whoever was on the throne at the time. And considering how large a palace would be, it's not surprising that a ruler would want someone with experience. Another detail about Amadouga is that her cylinder seal reveals her identification as the servant of Yasma Adad rather than the servant of Zimri Lim. So even though there is this change of ruler, Amadouga continues to describe herself by her earlier king, and she must have been a very powerful woman to be able to do this in the royal household. Let's look at one example of a banquet sponsored by a king to give us a sense of what a housekeeper like Amadouga would have overseen. The 9th century BC Assyrian king, Assurnasirpal II, sponsored a feast at the opening of his new capital for 69,574 people. He proudly recorded his generosity in an inscription that described the event in detail. The celebration lasted for 10 days, and the guest list included both locals, his Assyrian subjects, and 5,000 foreign ambassadors. And by this point, the Assyrians were quite a powerful nation, so they could encourage their provinces to send dignitaries for an occasion such as this. The menu for this feast shows the enormous quantity of food that a ruler supplied. Assurnasirpal II provided 10,000 sheep, 34,000 types of fowl, 10,000 fish and other types of meat. The guests would sate their thirst with 10,000 jars of beer, the size isn't given, and 10,000 containers of wine. In addition to food, public banquets like this would also supply entertainment. We know of dancing, acrobats, musicians would be there to entertain the guests. And the feast was another occasion for a ruler to demonstrate both his wealth and his generosity. At the same time, a feast like this would encourage his people to be especially favorable towards the king. After all, when you leave a dinner and you've had a lot of food, lots to drink, you often have goodwill towards your host. The foreign envoys, the local elite, the court officials, and members of the king's kingdom would have a memorable occasion on which they could meet the king, they would eat with him, and that too would create a connection between the ruler and his people. Public institutions, like the palace and the temple, were connected with food supply in another venue, providing rations in exchange for labor. If you think back to the 4th millennium BC, we've already considered this responsibility of both the ruling and the religious elite. The beveled rim bowl that we discussed, this disposable container that some scholars believe was a way for grain or beer to be dispersed to workers, was very prevalent in the late 4th millennium BC. And so we saw that provided some archaeological evidence for the temple's role in distributing food. Ration lists survive from many different periods, and the rations varied by the age and the gender of the individual, but all of them fulfilled the calories necessary for a day's work. These workers were usually employed in communal projects, such as building temples or palaces, or large agricultural harvests. They might even clear irrigation canals to bring this abundance to the table. The rations, given in return for labor, averaged about 16 gallons of barley a month for a male worker. Children from the age of 10 to 15 would receive 10 gallons of barley, and the elderly got about half of that. The records indicate that a worker would consume half a gallon of beer and half a gallon of barley per day.